I want to call your attention to the 36th Psalm for a scripture reading today. And this psalm consists of 12 verses. I'm just going to read it all before you here this morning. And Brother Wheat, today at the about the last 5 minutes of his lesson up here this morning, he was just all over my sermon today. And I like that. I believe the Lord is in those things. Psalm 36, beginning with verse 1. Read along with me. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. I want you to really listen closely and consider closely here the next three verses. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Let's go back and read those three verses again, 7-9. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. I would like to use the title today, Living the Good Life. That's the thought that the Lord has placed up on my heart. When the choir was singing we began to make our request, Sister Treva said that she was happy. Well, so am I. I'm happy. I have genuine happiness in my heart. A lot of people in the world today think they're happy, but really they're not happy because their happiness is superficial and it's not based upon that which can really make a person know happiness and know joy. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about what I believe the Scriptures would teach us, what the Word of God would teach us today about living the good life. I'm satisfied today in the Lord. When God saved my soul, He satisfied my soul. And I have been satisfied with what he did for me ever since then. And, you know, there are so many people in the world today that they would tell you that they are extremely happy in their life. And if you were to begin to ask them, why are you so happy? What you would find is that they would tell you that their great joy and their great happiness in life is based upon things that are soon going to perish. And they're blinded, as we find in in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, their minds are blinded by the god of this world, and all they're seeing are those things which are temporal and those things which are superficial that won't last and won't really, bring to a person the happiness that I'm talking about today. I want you to, this is a beautiful psalm. If you really, if you don't just read over it, if you really read it carefully and really think deeply about what it's saying, they shall be abundantly satisfied. They who? They that have put their trust under the shadow of God's wings. That's the they that he was talking about there. Those that have put their trust in the Lord, those that have placed their trust under the shadow of his wings, shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of his house, and God shall make them drink of the river of his pleasures. Not the little stream, not the little tinkling brook, but the big river of his pleasures. Not just the little showers, but as the Bible tells us, or not just the little blessings, rather, but as the Bible tells us, the showers of his blessings upon those that belong to him. I believe that God is good to his people. God blesses the lives of his people. Sometimes we may not just recognize it as readily as we should, but if you will really stop and think, and I know that we go through things in this life, we go through troubles and we face trials and we face heartaches, and we will do that as long as we live on the earth. Those things will accompany our lives. We shouldn't be surprised by them, should we? Because the Bible plainly tells us that we will face those things. Man that is born of woman is what? A few days and full of trouble. But in all this, those who have been saved, I believe, can find that which satisfies the soul and brings happiness to their life. Brother Jonathan Elliott, and he wouldn't mind me saying this, I've known him ever since he was a little bitty guy, but he was preaching up at Southside Church in Indianapolis one time, and those young men that started preaching up there around the same time, Brother Jonathan, my son Jeremy, Brother Brad Hicks, several of those young preachers that started preaching up there, it was one of the things they kind of razzed him about. They called it his Dr. Seuss sermon because he was preaching, and what he said was so right, but he said, as Christians, we shouldn't always be walking around looking down at the ground with a frown. But that's true, isn't it? I mean, we have, we have what is capable of making the people the most happiest people in the world. what God has done for us, those of us who are saved, what God has done for us is greater than anything else that anybody could ever know in this life. And sometimes I'm afraid, as even as the children of God, sometimes I'm afraid that we get things out of whack, we get things out of order, and sometimes we even think that it's those superficial things that brings happiness to our life. But perhaps I can only speak for myself, but I know that in my lifetime that I have found that that's not the case. Because I've had this great joy and this great peace and this great happiness in my soul under much different types of circumstances in my life. I know what it's like, and I'm going to say this today, and please, folks, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I'm saying this today to try to make the point that I'm trying to get across to you. I know what it's like to live and not have a bed to lay down on. I know what it's like to lay down and put a blanket over yourself and sleep on the floor. I've done it. I've experienced a time in my life when I did not have a bed to lay down on. I know what it's like to not have a vehicle to take me someplace, and I would have to walk. I know that there have been times when I had to walk to go and to the store and get food and supplies and things for my wife and children. I've had to walk to get there. I know what it's like not to have any money. I mean, I know what it's like to be flat broke. I've been there, and I bet a lot of you today can relate to that. I mean, just be flat broke, not have anything. And I know that today, if somebody were to, look at my life, if one of the people today, one of the rich people of the world today, rich according to the standards of the world, if they were to look at my life today and they were to see that I have, two vehicles that are well over 100,000 miles, and they could look at my house, and I thank God for it. I thank God for the house that I live in. I enjoy it, but it's not nearly what the world would call a mansion. I don't want what the world would call a mansion. I got one. I've got one waiting for me. I'm satisfied and content right where I'm at. I'm happy today, folks. I want you to know this. I am happy today to be standing right here where I'm at. You know, there are so many things that myself and all of us could be doing today. We could be somewhere else, and we could be doing something else, and we could be, today, we could be engaged in something satisfying to the flesh. We could be out playing games or whatever, but I'm going to tell you something today. I am content, and I am happy, and I am at peace in the Lord, and I'm thankful today to be standing right where I'm standing among the people of God, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, preaching the gospel of the Son of God. I know that, it's something that I can't do without the Lord's help. I know that I don't do a good job at it, but folks, listen, there is nothing that I would rather try than to serve the Lord. Nothing I'd rather be doing today. I've thought about my life. Have you thought about your life? Have you looked back through the years of your life? Let me ask you a question. When you do that, when you look back, Brother Lowe, when you look back through your life, if you had it to do over, would you rather do something else, or would you be content just to serve the Lord as a deacon again for over 50 years here in this church? I thank God for Brother Lowe and his service to the church here. You know, if God gave me another opportunity and said, listen, you know, we'll just erase that and you can go and do something else, I'd have to say, no, Lord, just let me do it again. The only change that I would want to make is, God, help me that I might do a better job of serving you than what I have done, but I've been content and satisfied just to be a child of God and to be an old-time Christian and to be with the people of God. I'll tell you what, I know today, Sister Thompson said this morning that she wished that everybody in the world could feel what she was feeling. Well, I know what it is. I know what she's talking about. I know what she's feeling because I have experienced it. And God lives in my heart today. And the Holy Spirit of God shed His love abroad in my heart. And listen, God did that for all of us when He saved us. He shed His love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we have a love dwelling in us that the world doesn't know anything about. I'll tell you what, the agape love of God far surpasses the filial love of man. I know that because I remember what it was like when the Lord changed me. We have a world full of people today that are chasing, I mean, furiously chasing the things that are going to pass away. The glitter and the glamour of this temporal life has caught their eyes, and they are distracted by it. And you know, it amazes me, and I've said this before, and this has always been an amazing thing to me, how that people will work so hard. I mean, you know, as the old expression goes, they'll work their fingers to the bone. I mean, people will work and they'll labor long, hard hours in the factory or wherever that it's at, and they will work, it seems, tirelessly that they might be able to possess material things of this life, that they might be able to own motor homes and motorbikes and all sorts of things. And then you tell them about this great God that gave His Son to die for their sins, that offers them eternal life without any cost to them. And there's so many of them that don't seem to want to have anything at all to do with it. That's always baffled me. I mean, I don't care how something looks. Wouldn't you rather have something that lasts? If you're here today and you're lost, wouldn't you rather have something that's eternal than something that's going to pass away in just a few short years? Well, Jesus told us about a man like that in the 12th chapter of Luke. Jesus told us about this man. He's speaking in a parable to those that place their trust in their riches. And He told us about this man that had a great increase of his crops. The ground of this rich man brought forth plentifully. In fact, he had so much produce from his ground that he ran out of space to keep it. His barns filled up. And he said to himself, well, I'll build bigger barns and I'll bestow my fruit. And then I'll say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, because thou hast much goods laid up for many years. But Jesus said, God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Listen, if you have placed your trust in the temporal riches of this life, rather than put your trust under the shadow of God's wings, that's a foolish way to live your life. I'll tell you what, I can stand before you today, and I can tell you this honestly. Right here today, before God, before you as witnesses, I can speak honestly from my heart today about the temporal possessions of life. When I've had times in my life when I didn't hardly have anything, and when I've had times in my life when God has allowed me to have more things, the happiness that I have in the Lord is the same under any situation. And I can say that with all truth and with all honesty of heart today. I'll tell you what, if you're not happy without it, you won't be happy with it. If you're not happy in the Lord without it, you won't be happy with it. And if the things of this life, if temporal possessions give you a greater degree of happiness, then let me tell you this, that happiness is based upon something that is superficial and it's not going to last anyway. As soon as those things are gone, it'll go with it. I've got an everlasting peace and an everlasting joy that you can't buy with money. You can't buy it with money. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You know what I'm talking about? When your cup runs over? My cup runneth over. And what did the psalmist say? You talk about the good life. Listen to what he said. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What do we have as the children of God? Well, the Apostle Peter described it very well. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, I'll tell you what, listen, if somebody were to come to me today and they would say, I had a rich relative that died and I want you to know that he left $30 million to me. What about an inheritance like that? Well, I could say, well, listen, friends, I've got a father that gave me an inheritance that's beyond this world. You can't even take that money and compare it to it. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm telling you what, there's nobody. Folks, listen, it doesn't make any difference if you have a dime or not. Doesn't make any difference. If you are a child of God, you have an inheritance that's incorruptible and that's undefiled, and that will never pass away. Listen, when your body, I enjoyed Sister DeMumram's testimony last week. I got so caught up in it. When your body is lying beneath the dust, when the spirit has left and our bodies are placed in the ground, we're going to be with God. We're going to be with the Lord, and you can't beat that. You can't beat that. So, you know, people can look at me, they can look at what I own, they can look at all of the material things that they want to, but they can't judge my life, because my life is based upon greater things than that. I'm telling you, folks, I'm living the good life. I'm living it. If you've been saved, you can say the same thing. We're the richest of the rich, aren't we? I was, Brother Lowe corrected me one time. I was talking about natural riches when I said it. I was preaching one Sunday here, and I made mention of the fact that I'm not rich. And as I was saying goodbye to people as they went out the door, Brother Lowe came by and shook hands with me. He said, "Yes, you are." Well, he was right. We're the richest of the rich, folks. We may not be rich in houses and land. I don't know any of us that are. We may not be rich in houses and land. We may not be rich in the temporal things of this life. But bless your heart, we have an inheritance with God that is beyond this world. The benefits of the Lord are out of this world. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, there's certainly some things that satisfy the body, isn't there? You ever get real thirsty out working? Out in the hot sun, out working, just get, you know, your throat get parched. Boy, doesn't a good cold drink of water taste good? I mean, isn't it satisfying? Isn't it quenching? But what about that day that you took that drink of living water? How about that? Did anything ever make you feel quite like that did? I know it sure didn't me. The day that I took a drink from the deep well, that well that the Lord Jesus spoke about there to that Samaritan woman when he said, you know, whoever drinks of the water of this well is going to thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. There'll be a well of water in him springing up into everlasting life. And folks, listen, that drink of water that I took that night, that summer night in 1973, when God saved my soul has never thirsted since. You know what I'm talking about? Never had that thirst since the day that the Lord spoke peace to my soul. So, you know what? It doesn't make any difference to me if I ever have, as far as the things of this world, if I have a little or if I have a lot. If I have a little, I don't ever want anybody to look on me in pity. I'm serious. Don't look on me in pity, because I've got something that's better than that anyway. I've got an inheritance. No matter what that I may face here, I'm going home to be with God. My riches, my mansion, is beyond this world. It's beyond this world. Jesus told us not to lay up our treasures here. Don't lay up treasures on earth. Why? Why not, Lord? Well, because moth and rust corrupt, and because thieves break through and steal. But there are no thieves in heaven, are there? And there's no rust in heaven. There are no moths in heaven. He said, lay up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal. Let me tell you something. If you're here right now, in this moment of time, if you're lost and without God, if you really want to enjoy your life, if you want to have a good life, friend, if you want to live the good life, you need to come to the Lord, and you need to repent of your sins, and you need to place all of your trust in Him until you know that He has saved your soul, and then you're going to have a wonderful life in this world and in the world to come. You're going to have something in you that will help you to look beyond the troubles and the trials that we face down here. Folks, I'll tell you what. If I look at this world too much, it doesn't look pretty. I'm looking up. I'm looking upward. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, he said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Our security. You know, people can have a lot of money laid aside and they think they got a security blanket. And you know what? Somebody can steal it. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. You could have $1 million laid aside. You could be just like that rich man there in that parable in Luke 12 that he thought he had it made. He thought that he had a great security blanket. You could have $1 million laid aside and you could think, boy, I've got it made for the rest of my life. Somebody can steal it and it'd be gone. That's exactly what the Lord was teaching. Don't put your trust in the temporal things of this life. Lost friend, please, don't put your trust in those things which perish. Seek the Lord and be saved, where you can say with an honest heart that I've put my trust under the shadow of His wings, and I'm going to be satisfied with the fatness of His house, and I'm going to drink of the river of His pleasures. Let's have a song.